Steve Fast with you on WJBC. Word came down of the unexpected death of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia yesterday, and this will have a major effect on a lot of elements of American politics and government and, of course, the court system, as Scalia was maybe the most vocal conservative, well, definitely the most vocal, perhaps the most influential conservative on the court in decades. Joining us is Bob Bradley, professor emeritus of politics and government from Illinois State University. When you heard this news, you've studied the court so extensively. What was the first thing you thought of?
Well, the first thing that hit me was that I was surprised. I knew that he was old. The Supreme Court, before his passing, was the third oldest court in American history and was closing rapidly on becoming number two. And there'd been a lot of discussion in the presidential election that the next president, whoever it is, could have the possibility of appointing four justices to the Supreme Court, because there are four justices that are right around 80 years old, of which Scalia was one. But I was surprised because I hadn't heard of any health problems or anything that he was having. And then the other thing that struck me immediately was that there are some cases that are currently before the court that could be really affected by this. One of the cases that's been talked about a lot in Illinois is a case dealing with public employee unions. And right now, it looked like, before Scalia's passing, that one of the things that public employee unions do is charge fees, even of those union members that might not agree with the union stances on things. And that was in question. And it was generally held that that practice is going to be struck down 5-4 because the conservatives numbered 5 and the liberals on the court numbered 4. Well, now it would be 4-4. And it may be that public employee unions might have dodged a real bullet on that case.
When is the court scheduled to hear that those arguments for that case?
It's already heard oral arguments on that case, which is why a lot of people argued that it was going to be a 5-4 decision looking into the oral argument. The decision on the case will probably come down in May, late May, early June.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the nomination process then. You already have Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, and a couple of the people that are running for the Republican nomination for president say, well, President Obama should not nominate the next Supreme Court justice, that somehow the American people should weigh in on it, not the president, even though the American people did elect the president. And that's a big thing that the president does, is nominate justices. Do they have an argument to say that this should be held over until we elect a new president?
No. I mean, in a very simple way, no. It does a disservice, first and foremost, to the Supreme Court, because then you put the Supreme Court in a position of making a bunch of decisions this term and a lot of decisions for next term that would be on a court without full membership of 9. Second of all, and interestingly, it would actually, in some ways, discredit Scalia. One of the things that most bothered Scalia in his decision-making is when he saw, or what he perceived to be, politics entering what the Supreme Court does. And you could see that in some of his opinions when the court dealt with the Affordable Care Act. And he thought that politics had really entered the court's decision-making there. And so I think Scalia, if he was around to comment on this, and if it had been another justice, let's say Justice Kennedy had been the one to pass away, and Justice Scalia was still in the court, I think he would be very upset that people would be using basically politics to say that the president should not fulfill his constitutional duty of making an appointment to the court.
If President Obama does nominate, well, he will nominate a candidate that has to be approved by Congress, and Congress just doesn't like the nomination, how long can they drag it out? What happens if this whole nomination process gets held up, kind of the way that a number of the appellate justice appointments and other appointments have been held up for so long by Congress?
Well, that's the very likely and unfortunate probability, is that the Senate will never convene to vote on it. and they may not even schedule confirmation hearings until the election's over. And that's not necessarily unprecedented. And there's two facets to that. First of all, President Obama has gotten a reputation of being fairly slow in filling federal judicial vacancies. He's been sort of renowned for that for his past 7 years. So on that aspect, it's going to be slow. And then the Senate certainly has not been really speedy in dealing with appointees of the presidency, particularly those appointees that might make policy or would be controversial. And both those criteria are filled when you're talking about filling Scalia's seat on the court. So it all plays out to the fact that even if Obama does make the appointment, and I think he will make an appointment. It won't be as fast as some people want, but he'll make one. The odds of the Senate actually conducting a vote, I think, are minimal at best.
So what happens then if President Obama finds a nominee, puts that person up for confirmation, that person isn't confirmed until after Obama leaves office, then the next president would then nominate someone else?
The next president, that nomination would cease to have any official weight once Congress went into recess. Then the nomination would be basically null and void. But what it just leaves an option for President Obama, and it would be very interesting to see if he does this, and that is President Obama could wait until Senate goes into official recess and then makes a recess appointment to the Supreme Court. And then that person would serve on the court until the Senate goes back in the session, and then the Senate would then vote on the person.
So you could have a Supreme Court justice that could feasibly be a recess appointment, actually helping decide cases and then essentially be replaced if that recess appointment not upheld?
Right.
Has that ever happened before?
That scenario that you just played out has not happened, where the Senate came back and voted it down, but where a person has actually participated in decisions as a recess appointment and then the Senate confirmed that person later on has played out. And the most notable of that person is a person that a lot of the listeners had heard the name of, and that was Chief Justice Warren. Chief Justice Warren was a recess appointment, and he participated in cases before the Senate voted on him.
That's pretty amazing. And, of course, we think of Earl Warren as having just a great impact on the Supreme Court for many years. We're talking with Bob Bradley, Professor Emeritus of Politics and Government from Illinois State University. So, Bob, this will mean that President Obama will have nominated three Supreme Court justices. Maybe not confirmed, but we know that he will have nominated three. Is that unusual? What's the historical precedent for the number of justices one president has appointed or nominated?
It'd be the first time that a president has nominated that many since Reagan. And it is sort of unusual. Usually presidents get, in a term, they will usually appoint around two. Second term, it becomes a little bit more dicey, primarily because in the latter half of the second term, the president's considered a lame duck and various things like that. But typically, a two-term president will get to appoint around three. So that's not unusual. What makes this one particularly interesting is the fact that, as we all know, President Obama and Congress does not get along very well. And President Obama and this particular Senate really don't get along. And what it does, and we talked earlier about the importance of this, boy, this makes a lot of Senate races all of a sudden even more important than what they were, including one in Illinois. The Illinois race is now predicted to be a flip race, that the Democrats will actually pick up that seat. But you can bet a bottom dollar now that with Scalia leaving the court, that the Republicans will try to hold on to that seat even more than what they were planning to do earlier, because they really would not like the Senate to flip with the possibility that you could get a Democrat elected as president, and then all of a sudden the Senate is controlled by the Democrats.
It's also pretty likely that whomever the next president will be, that president will be nominating at least one Supreme Court justice. As you mentioned, this is a very old court. A lot of people have talked about the age of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, for instance.
Right. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg is a justice who's up in years and also has some pretty considerable health problems. And there's a fair number of people that are somewhat surprised that she's actually still on the court and still functioning as a Supreme Court justice. The person, though, and I have read that they were talking about Scalia being the most influential conservative on the court, and I'm not sure if I actually agree with that labeling of him, because I think the most influential conservative on the court is a guy by the name of Kennedy. And the reason for that is Kennedy tends to be, in 5-4 decisions, he's almost always on the side of the five. And he's almost always writing the majority opinions for those five. And Kennedy is also one of those justices who is getting up in age and has made some statements that he's thinking of leaving the court in a not too distant future. Well, if Kennedy leaves the court, that will be, you know, as big as Scalia leaving the court. That will set up a battle royal, particularly if you have the president and the Senate controlled by opposite parties.
Bob Bradley, Professor Emeritus of Politics and Government from Illinois State University. Bob, thanks so much for joining us and talking about some of these ramifications today. I appreciate you finding some time.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
It's the Steve Fast Show on WJBC.